Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life After Corporate. I so appreciate our return listeners. And if you're new to us, welcome home. I am super excited to share with you a very special guest who's here with us today, Tina Villian, who is a coach. I know I was going to botch that name, right? I just can't do it. Tina, say your name for
Tina
us.
Tina Villian.
Don't worry.
I'll keep trying. So Tina and I are in the same incubator program where we are both growing or scaling our businesses. And I asked Tina to come and speak with you today because she has a very unique scaling methodology for people who want to leave a legacy with their businesses and grow big. And this episode will be perfect for you too, even if you're just getting started, because it will inspire you for what's possible. And if you've been at this a while and it's not working, you will definitely want to sit up and take notes, because Tina is brilliant at strategy. And I know you will get big insights from our interview today. So Tina, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for tolerating. I can't speak Finnish or Swedish.
Don't worry. Nobody can.
Tell us where in the world you are right now.
Right now, I'm in a very beautiful town called Mariefred. It's about 1 hour south of Stockholm. And we live here, my husband and my two kids. I'm married to a Swedish dude. We have two kids. And I am from Helsinki, Finland. And these two countries are different, Finland and Sweden. So don't mess with me.
Don't mess with me.
I'm a Finnish woman living in Sweden. All right. That's important.
You are such a badass. You are really a badass. What I love about you is that you tell it like it is. You're very much a straight shooter. And we'll ask you about your background, but I know you have a background in IT and engineering. And let's talk about how that influences your approach to working with entrepreneurs. So tell us, what is your life after corporate story, Tina? And when did you make that big pivot?
Okay, so I think that, well, first of all, my background is in engineering and in IT, IT consulting and management consulting. I used to work with big banks and did a lot of very complicated IT consulting work that you can't really see. So we were not in that thing, that type of IT where you can see something like cool apps or cool anything. We were just building like really, really some kind of technologies that you can't even understand what it is. And they just are something that does a lot of integration platforms and such. So not so sexy stuff, but very important. So I studied engineering at school. I migrated from Finland to Sweden when I was 19. The official story is to study. The unofficial story is because Sweden has very good looking guys. So I was like,
good looking. Yeah. When you were saying your husband was Swedish, I was thinking, oh my God, Sweden has the hottest guys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The ladies are beautiful too, but guys look good. Okay. So I was like, I'm 19 years old. I was like, I'm going to, jump over this little ocean between, go to Sweden, find a man and all that. Anyway, so I went to Uppsala University, started studying technology. I thought I'm going to become a lawyer, but then I realized that maybe technology is more my thing. Studied that, moved to Shanghai, did my thesis work in Shanghai, worked for a lot of American companies because I was doing a research for a professor here in Sweden, in Swedish University. So we work with different kind of American companies, Microsoft and so forth, in Shanghai, lived there, came back to Stockholm and started working in IT. And a couple of years later, I felt like I need to do something else. Like, this has been fun, but, you know, I just, this is actually, it actually somehow started when my then boyfriend, now husband, we went to US. So we came to New York. We started talking about, like, you know, big country, big dreams. What do we want to do?
New York will do that to you.
I noticed that. And I told my husband, like, listen, because a few years earlier, a few years before that, I got into the world of blogging. And I got into the world of blogging because I had an interest, and that was interior design. And I also loved technical stuff. And that time, there wasn't any WordPress or anything. So you really had to create, like, HTML, I can't even remember what they were now, but, like, so you had to create your blogs and do that kind of coding, and I kind of found it interesting, and I was single then, so I started an interior design blog, and then I wasn't blogging so much, but when we were in US some years later, I told my husband that I'm really, really interested in the design, a specific style that you have on the East Coast, and I wanted to bring that design style to the Nordic countries because we did not have that. And then we started talking about it, and I'm like, well, and he said, like, so what are you waiting for? And I was like, I don't know. And then we got home, and that I started my company, but I was still in corporate. So I was launching my design business. It was a physical goods business. So we did designed, manufactured physical goods, physical textiles. I mean, home textiles, home decor, shipped them from Asia to Nordics, to Europe, and to distribute it through different kind of distribution channels around Europe and a little bit outside as well. So that was kind of my corporate escape program.
That's a big shift from technology to design and manufacturing too. Yeah. So that was a big commitment. How long were you in that business for?
I started in 2012, but that was the same year when we got our first kid. So I didn't actually do anything actively during the first 2 years. So, but 2014, we got our second kid. And then I decided that we were also flipping a lot of houses and homes, and we're doing a lot of, you know, movement those years. So there were babies everywhere. There were houses everywhere. It just felt like a lot of things going on. And we have always had a lot of things going on, but they were very, quite random, you know, crazy years. And we decided that we're going to leave Stockholm behind. We're going to move to this beautiful city where we live, a little town village where I live now. And we also decided that we cannot both travel to Stockholm and work in this, you know, IT consulting. My husband was in the same, he's a CTO in a company. So we was like, we can't do that both. So if we are going to move to this beautiful place, we built a house here, we bought a plot, and we built a house here. We said somebody, and that would be me because I wanted that, needs to stay and, you know, have something else and not that career life. So that was a kind of what we did that. So then I went full time. Gosh, now time flies. 2015, I went full time with the design business. And then it was good, but it wasn't perfect, and it wasn't me. Okay. So it was, I really loved some aspects of that. For example, I really loved, like, building brands, launching, marketing, all those things. But there were some other aspects that I did not love at all. And particularly the lack of margins, because when you are in physical goods business, you know, you have
so much you can't control.
You can't control. And also, there's so much money in the stock. So it's just, there's no money to do the proper marketing, basically. So you have to be very scrappy when you're doing those things. So, and I wasn't loving that. I was really missing the, you know, complexity of technology and coaching, consulting work and all that. So I did that from 2015, like, full time to 2017. And then I realized that I need to do something else. And then my current business was born from that. Yeah.
You know, we were talking earlier today because I was on your podcast and about how the line from, you know, when you start as an entrepreneur, that it really is a winding road. Mm. Where you start might not be where you end up.
Yeah.
And it really is about reinventing yourself and And it's part an internal journey as well as noticing what's going on in the outside world. So I'm curious, what made you start Avenue A, going from this product company around interior design to, you know, helping other businesses scale on the services side, which of course brought a lot more leverage and better margins into your business?
Yeah, well, I think it was one very, well, two things. First, I started getting questions from people who were also looking into starting a design business. And I got these questions because I had, you know, bigger following, you know, people were watching what I was doing. We got pretty popular, the brand got, you know, a lot of attention here up in Nordics. So I started getting these questions from other women who said, listen, how does an IT engineer starts and launches this type of design brand and gets into all the TV shows and, you know, magazines and all that. So how did you do? So it's like, I don't know. But I can try to create a some kind of, a, you know, step-by-step instructions how I did that. So that was a kind of the first step into coaching when I just start like, oh, well, I can teach you. I can show you how I did and I can help you put together a physical goods business. So that was the first thing. But then there was an interesting situation, and we talked about this, the sales thing. So in my podcast earlier today, when I was in IT, and since I am an engineer, so I am a creator, I build things, like that's just how I'm wired. I always thought that sales was something bad, something I didn't want to engage in, so something that I'm going to leave it to somebody else. And I'm just creating my products and whatever, and somebody else is going to do the sales. And in my previous business, it was like that. I had a sales team of 5-6 people around Europe, and they were selling our textiles to retail stores and partners and different distribution channels. But then we were invited into a trade show in, this was in Hamburg in Germany, and we were thinking about launching a brand in Germany, and I had one salesperson in Germany, and this company who invited us to participate, this joint booth, it was called something like 10 Swedish designers or something. So it was a joint booth, which is a great thing when you're launching, because it's very expensive to all the logistics around trade shows and so forth. So we were on this show, and we paid a lot to be in that booth, and I thought that this organizer would have organized so that there were like hostesses or hosts who were talking about the concept and talking about why we are 10 Swedish brands and all that thing. But there wasn't anybody. There wasn't some teenagers, you know, and they were more interested in their mobile phones or whatnot and not really working the floor. And I was supposed to stay there only one day and then hand over to my German salesperson. And I do not speak German, and but I realized, like, hang on, nobody's doing anything, and people come, and, you know, buyers and the purchase managers from different stores or hotels, they come to the booth, and they don't get anybody to present anything, so there's nothing happening, so it looks boring. So I started bouncing around, like, you know, guten Tag, or whatever, you know, you say in German, and you're like, this is what we are, this is what we do, we're from Sweden, and, you know, here's some cake, and whatever, and started showing around, and a couple of the other brands, and they were really big brands and established brands, they were watching me running around and doing this kind of, you know, just entertaining
getting
people.
Scrappy.
Yeah, just getting there, you know, having fun and talking about the designs and the concept. And they said, Metina, do you need to leave tonight? Because I wanted to go back home and leave the rest of the booth at the trade fair to be my salesperson's responsibility. And they were like, do you really need to leave? Can we please pay you to stay here for the whole trade fair? Because you are working this booth. So this, you are so good at this. And then I was like, oh, I'm great at sales. Like, I love this. Like, wow.
Yeah.
And that's when everything changed for me. My whole kind of mentality, my whole identity of like going from person who does not want to do sales at all. Like, I'm the creator. I don't need to deal with sales. Going to like, sales is fun. It's energy. It's helping. It's all that. And these dudes, those people that they don't know how to do that. So I got home and I told my husband, like, one, I love sales. He was like, what? Two, I'm going to kill my business. And he was like, oh, okay. And that's when I realized that I need to go into coaching people how to create this energy that they can exchange with people towards money and whatever results that they are providing. So that's how Avenue started.
Wow, that I love the way you phrase that as, you know, sales is energy that you exchange with people in exchange for money. Mm-hmm. And I know in your business, you work with entrepreneurs who are looking to take what's working and scale it even bigger. Mm-hmm. And you also work with entrepreneurs who need a do-over, right? Mm-hmm. So what they're doing isn't working. Mm-hmm. And I got to catch your LinkedIn video. And for our listeners, if you haven't done it, you know, grab Tina's name from the show notes and go follow her on LinkedIn, or I'll put a post to your social on LinkedIn, because it was so, 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 so good, where you explained your Avenue growth system. And, you know, what's so brilliant as I'm listening to you, you're so much an engineer. Right. So everything that you're doing is like reverse engineering it for your clients into this step by step. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can just follow me and I'll show you how it's done. Mm. And that's your natural inclination. You know, so what I'm observing is that's the skill that you brought with you from corporate and you're just applying it here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I think so. And I that's really interesting when you say that, because now when we are, you know, doing this, our summer courses at the incubator, I really had to think about like, what is the thing that I like the real value, because obviously we do marketing coaching and sales coaching and those things. But I also see that this is something that's actually being like with me since I was in my 20s. I've always studied or worked with or in systems. So it's always like my education was called systems engineering. I've always done some kind of a system. So I love creating systems for creating workflows, making things work, and also, as you said, identify what is not working and fixing that. So really going kind of deep into those things and details and fix that and then get better results. And yeah, I'm an engineer. So for me, like I speak technology and I speak numbers. So that's my love language. But I understand also that not everybody else is so excited about those things, but they want to have the results that engineers usually can bring to when they really start like getting into, you know, pushing buttons and putting together some wires and then things work. So,
So tell us a story. Tell us a story about how you've worked with one of your clients and how you've really engineered their scaling success.
Okay. One story, for example, I got a client, her name is Susan, Swedish client, and she had been running her business for about 20 years. So she had a business model, a team, and an offer that was, they were okay. I mean, they were doing good, a team of small team, and they've always been in business. But the problem was that the business model was so outdated. So sooner or later, that business was doomed. And she said, first, she was really tired because Susan had been working 20 years, but in reality, she had been working like 200 years because she was working so much. And there was not really clear structure around her business. And it was just, she was tired. So one thing that she wanted, she just said like, I just need to talk about these things because obviously I cannot talk with my team. That's not what you can't do that. If you're, when you're a leader, you need to have some other people you talk with when you are going through different kind of changes, particularly changes. If you've been running business for a longer time, you know that, you know, maybe your team is not so the first ones you need to you talk through the, you know, the changes with. Anyway, so when I started looking at her business, so we started looking at, okay, so how are you doing? Or what are you selling? And how does this scale? And what is the future of this business? And since I work in the technology field and I have been in the online space since 2008 when I started my blog. So even though it was never supposed to be a business, it became a business later on and all that. So I've been seeing everything from blogging start to social media start to webinars to all those things. Just like you, we've been doing this kind of work and really seeing things come and go and develop like that. So I know about different business models, what could be possible. And really without losing the team, because we really wanted to use that team's expertise and knowledge and skills, but we had to do a remodel of that business. So we started working on that, and within a couple of months, we had totally changed that business to a similar offering, but very much digital, very different type of revenue streams, and very exciting thing, because everybody in her team, when we started rolling it out to the team, when we said, now we have made the decisions, I told her that, listen, you can blame me. Team, it will give you crap, you can blame me. You can say, I'm working with this Tina and we have decided, so you don't need to be alone in that situation and decisions and getting that, because in that business, for example, she received a lot of resistance every time they wanted to do something else. And that's why she was very tired.
And what was the business? What were they in business of doing?
They had a local magazine, like a print magazine. Yeah.
And they needed to go digital.
Yeah. So we did not only a publishing platform, but we also created a service platform where we started implementing a model where they do marketing for companies in their own area. And so the business model became very different, but also it became very modern type of way to actually scale everything that we were doing. But they could still utilize that skills that they had, because they had, magazine people who wrote and, took pictures and all that kind of, so they could really put all the graphic designers, everybody into that work. But then what I'm really proud of is that she was so excited about this. So she took that thing to a local, what is called Dragon's Den. Is it called? Yeah, Dragon's Den. And she won that thing. And they said, when she had presented all that thing, they said that we haven't heard this good of a business idea in years. And she won a lot of money. And now they are, busy building that thing. So it was really cool to see. Of course, she went all in. She was like, let's just do this. Like, let's go. We just need to break things now and then we can rebuild. But also it was so cool to see that when she went and presented the new business model, she got a lot of money. All the dragons were super excited and the team was like, yes, this is what we do. So they are going to places. It's really, really cool to see. So that's a typical we didn't really changed everything, which has changed how they operate and added a lot of technology possibilities that she couldn't see herself. So that's a one type of transformation we do. Sometimes then we also have cases and one fantastic clients that have been operating one type of business, for example, restaurants, for all their lives. And then they go like, I don't want to do this anymore. I love being an entrepreneur. I'm doing good, but I'm done running restaurants. I want to do something else. So with that kind of clients, we usually do a complete remodeling. So for example, one of my customers, she's been running restaurants for a long time, and now because she's educated in food and dietist type of like a nutrition science. So we are building her platform to become a nutrition coach for women over 50s. So that kind of transformation to happen when you engage.
We love clients who are willing to break things, right?
Things
and build new things.
Yeah.
So talk to us about your Avenue Growth System.
Okay.
What does that look like, if I'm a company that has a business model that's not working and I don't know why, and I come to you, what do you do?
So first we have to see what is working and what's not working. So why is it not working? And it could be so that usually the person is just very tired of doing that. They want to do something else. And I can see it is very much, for example, life changes. Like, you know, we have small kids, then all of a sudden we have big kids and you know, these things. So maybe just the thing that we wanted 4 or 5 years ago, 10 years ago is not what I want now. So the first thing is just to see, what do we really want? Like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Because I think everything is absolutely possible, but it's just very different how quickly you can get there depending on what you have. And when I say what you have, I mean, what are your advantages? Some companies have a lot of connections. Some companies or people have a lot of cash. Some other people have a lot of something. Some people have, you know, natural born personality that they are very outgoing and they don't mind speaking on stage and so forth. Some others not so much. So what is that you have and what you don't have? And let's not focus on those things which you don't have, because we want to get momentum quickly. So that would be the first thing we start looking to. And then it's really about analyzing what's not working, why isn't working, and what do you really want to, what do you want to get? But also, I also find that many times my job is really to inspire as well, to show them what is possible. And many times, for example, our clients, they have been operating one type of business for a longer time. So maybe they don't see what is possible. So that's why when we start, we are going to throw a lot of confetti on the, you know, the walls and everywhere just to see what is possible. So let's dream. And then after that, let's go to work. And then we start a very systematic process of putting together assets and systems that will help you increase the value of your company, but also make your growth journey and your work much more joyful, fun, and not work 75 hours a week. So that's the kind of rules that we have. We do not work 75 hours a week.
I know. We were talking earlier today because I'm in the US and you're in Europe and you're on holiday. Mm. And I'm thinking, oh, I remember holidays. So we want to create businesses where we're not working all the time, where there is leverage. So talk about those assets. When you talk about assets in your business and different categories of assets, what do you mean?
Okay, yeah. So I talk about everything that can increase the value of your company and also can make your company be run by somebody else or something else. So for example, I love automation, but when I say business automation, we don't necessarily talk about things like having a tool that is publishing something on Instagram. That's not that kind of business automation. And it could be everything from, for example, making sure that your bookings will be rescheduled and all that. That is automated. You have systems, your invoice and your processes are working. And that is, of course, something that requires technology assets. So for example, we like to talk about 8 different assets. And the first asset is product assets. So every business needs to have products that they are selling. And now it doesn't matter if you're selling services or physical goods and anything. We believe that you have to have a specific product that can enable the scalability and growability of your business. And usually, when you start engineering different kind of product assets, you have to think about that there are certain products that have a certain type of something that they need to do in your business, and they are not always doing the same thing. So, for example, we love to talk about that all businesses should start looking into creating an ecosystem of products where we have the first product is lead offer. So that is something that you use in order to get people to raise their hands and say, I might be interested in this. I don't know yet, but I'm willing to I will qualify myself, pre-qualify myself to say that this is something that I might need. And the second type of product is, we call this a get foot in offer. So this is something that is easy to sell, easy to buy. And the goal with this product is not to create profit. This is to create growth engine. So you use this in different ways versus, for example, you use your SO, which stands for signature offer. So this is your main product. This is your profitability, the product that will driving the profits to your business, and also the product that you are known for. So signature offers. And then we have the fourth type of product is what we call the brand culture offers, which is something that when people already are inside of your ecosystem, they keep buying from you. And these products have usually high profitability because you don't have to pay for the acquisition again. People are already inside of your system. So let's say, for example, if you are a happy business owner owning a company called Apple, for example, so Apple has, you know, they sell their signature offers. They have their iPhones and they have, you know, they're quite, you know, they well, what they have Apple products, but they also are selling a lot of gadgets that goes with those products. So you kind of have to keep buying those things. You are already in their brand culture. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first type of assets. Then we have brand assets. So this is everything from your messaging, identifying your values, your personality, and of course your visuals as well. And when you go deeper into this one, when you start scaling, you also need to start looking into your intellectual property. So how do you create that intellectual property that is going to help you scale? Then we have audience assets. An audience asset is the people around you who will hear about your message. And this is important also to understand that we can create audience assets in very different ways. We have acquired assets, so something that we can acquire, for example, through different type of marketing activities. We can create assets, audience assets, by retargeting people. We can create organic audiences. But there are also networks and partner assets. And these are really important as well when you're growing. But usually when you start your business, maybe the strategy partnerships, they could work for you, but then again, they could also be something that might not work so well for you yet if you don't have something to offer, something valuable, because in partnerships, both needs to win. So it's important to know that we have to create our own audiences, focus on acquisition, the audience acquisition, but also we know that if we're going to scale, then we are going to have to strategically go over to other people's audiences and create networks and opportunities through that.
Yeah, it is so key because the content that you create for your own audience that you own, you can wash, rinse, and repeat and deliver to your partner networks and partner audiences. And one of the things that we do here at The Great Do-Over when we're marketing the Launch Lab is make sure that I'm on stage, well, on the virtual stage at this point, with at least three other networks every single month so that you're always expanding your network. It's so important.
Yeah, it's very important. Yeah. So we have product assets, brand assets, and audience assets.
And audience.
Then we have the fourth one is acquisition assets. So this is about sales and marketing. And we love to build systems for everything. You know, my systems have systems. So I think that particularly in the beginning, when we know, both you and I know, and everybody who's listening will know now, that the only focus you have at the beginning of your journey is sales. You have to get sales work. And because that is the ultimate validation that you actually are in business. If nobody's buying what you're selling, then you're not in business. We have to make sure that the sales is working. So I love to focus on creating a sales system and assets that go with that system that you can use over and over and over again that prove to be very effective. And also, we prefer also them working when you're not working, if you want to take a little holiday so you have automation in place, that it feels very natural, it feels very personal, but it's still automated. So you can actually focus your time and energy on other activities that are also very, very important. So these are kind of the product, brand, audience, and acquisition assets are the first assets we always work through. regardless of the state of the business. But then we have also more. I mean, when we start scaling, then we have to start looking at the people assets. Like, people, you are an asset in your business, because if you, as the leader, if you don't function, there's a big risk that your business is not going to function. And even though we do want to make sure that the businesses will also function without us, but when we are building this foundation, we are scaling it, it's really important that our heads are straight and we can cope with that. So I think the leader is a huge asset in the all the communication, the creating the vision and knowing and showing where the ship is going. Then we have the other team members, like, these are also assets. We have to make sure that we have people who are supporting us, everything from employed people to suppliers, to different contractors, also people we work with as our coaches and, you know, our the teams that we want to work with, so we can keep our head straight and continue on this journey.
A necessary part of this journey.
Yeah, it is. And it, just friends, like people, the colleagues in this world. Like, I think first, now I don't feel so lonely anymore, but I felt very lonely when I started my first business, even though I had a team and there was kind of, I had a possibility to have interaction with people. I felt very lonely because I didn't have other women and men who were also dealing with these things. So it's really important to have people so it doesn't feel so lonely.
I think there's two definitions to team. One is the team of people who work for you or you work with in the running of your business. And then it's your team. Yeah. Like, who is on the CEO team? You have your coach, you have your colleagues, you have your trusted advisors, and it's so important.
It
so
is.
That's five is that's people.
Fine. Then we have the capital assets. So we know growth will eat cash for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and maybe sometimes even middle of the night. So I think that, well, of course, depending on what kind of business you have, you might be able to start with little money or very much money. But I think that in most cases, you can actually start a company with very little capital, but you cannot scale your company with no money. So you have to make sure that you have
so
cash.
True.
So that's why, of course, how you generate the cash, it is very individual, but I think there should be different ways of generating the cash. And now when we, for example, looked at the product assets, this is where we really need to cross-pollinate, because we need to know, for example, that we have a product asset. For example, in our case, we call this a Get Food In Offers. That is an asset that will generate cash, not profit, but just cash, so you can actually fund your growth while you go. So those things are super
important. Pause there for a minute.
Yeah.
Pause there for a minute, Tina, because that was put foot in door, right? Not put food in door.
No, get food in.
Oh, get food in.
Okay. Get your foot in. Yeah.
Get your foot in.
Yeah, get your foot in. Yeah.
Okay. So that's something that's easy for people to buy, right? Easy to sell. And it pays for your ads, pays for your paid for marketing, right?
Yes.
Is that what you mean by that? Okay.
So this one thing is to pay for the actual advertising, but also, of course, if you want to get into bigger deals, you might be, you know, you might need to sell something first so that you get your foot in to the company, to this client, and then you can take it from there. So for example, when we were doing IT consulting and the projects were like multiple million euro projects, we did not start by selling that, we sold workshops. And then the result of that workshop was that, you know, they need our service, and then we could move on. So, and in design, when I had my design company, we did exactly the same thing, but of course, different type of offering. But we had a system for opening the door to new retail stores and then, you know, take it from there. So we had, so the capital assets, then we have the management assets. And, you know, this is the things that you have to have in place when you're scaling, your standard operating procedures and operational roadmaps. And what I, my favorite, and I know this is not the most hot thing for many people, but this is the data. Like, you must have a system already from the get-go where you actually know how to extract data so you can use that data to make decisions, because you cannot make decisions based on gut feeling, on wild guesses. We want to make decisions based on numbers. And that's why management assets, as we define them, is, for example, different kind of KPI scorecards that we start implementing when we are building acquisition assets, when we are building this, so we can start seeing what actually happens, and we can see by numbers, like, what is the conversion rates, what are the all the important KPIs that we have to look at in order to make the decisions if something is working or not. Because really, eventually it comes down to the numbers. Like, can you make more money than you spend in your marketing, for example? Then go. If not, then no go. And then you have to fix it.
And KPIs, we should define for people who don't have a corporate background that KPIs are your key performance indicators.
Yeah.
And it's all about the analytics and what's working, what's not.
Yeah. And what kind of goals we set? Like, what are we measuring now? I mean, some people, for example, some companies have to measure the amount of likes and followers on social media, because they will get paid by those, that data. So if you are an influencer and you will get paid because you have 2 million followers, then that is one of your KPIs that you have to measure and you have to report and follow that. Whereas, for example, in our case, I really don't care how many followers we have on social media, because that's not something that we measure in terms of revenue. It's like we have another model of creating revenue, and social media followers, or the amount of social media followers, is not one of those. So knowing what is your indicators of if something is going towards where you want it, and also ignoring those things that are not relevant for you, that are just vanity numbers.
Got it.
So these are the 7, and then we come to my favorite one, and that is the technology assets. We're going to go on about this for years, but technology is really about all kinds of technology, the infrastructure you need to have so that your business will start running better. So everything from systems for client support to systems for sales and marketing, of course, as part of acquisition assets, but also invoicing systems. And, you know, we are looking at data warehouses, like where we store our things and where we put our things and how we share the materials between the team and so forth. So technology assets also very important to start looking into. So it will create and infrastructure and possibilities for scaling.
Yeah, your business doesn't grow without technology. And, you know, putting those foundations in even early on. So if you're just getting started, there are still some basic technologies that you need to build into the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing. And you call this the Avenue Growth System?
Yeah, the Avenue Growth System is a system where we help our clients to first identify where they're at. So what is their next focus area? Because obviously, if you are starting out, you don't focus on, you know, management assets, you have to focus on the other things. But then when you start growing and scaling, depending on where you are, depending on what you want to achieve, you need to start implementing these, but you do not start doing them all by one. You just need to focus on, like, this is the next step. And then, of course, there are also different levels on, for example, the product asset creation. What do you create first and what comes then when you start scaling? So the whole system is built in so that we can, myself and our certified coaches, we can quickly analyze a lot of companies with the help of the tools that we have created. We can analyze companies to see where they are at right now and try to make very smart decisions on this is where you should be focusing on because of this data that we extract from your operations. And then the system also will give our clients and people who follow it a very step-by-step structure over the things that they need to do. But of course, details are very different depending on what kind of business you have, what you're selling, where you're selling, to whom you're selling, which price point, and so on. So it's a system for both seeing the clear structure, what I need to focus on, but then details, as I said, very, very different depending on the company.
Very different for different industries, for different types of companies, for different stages of growth.
Yeah,
So where can people go if they want to learn more about the Avenue Growth System? Where can they go to follow you, to connect with you?
Oh, nice. So personally, I'm found on Instagram, for example, so you can just go and try to find Tina.Villian. But you can go to, if you would like to learn more about this specific assets and the order of how you implement that, you can go to activateyourgrowth.com. And that's where I have some cool things that you can download home and start reading, and join also the live workshops and those that I host on a weekly basis. Not this week, but you know, when I'm back from my holidays. And then of course you can go to tinavillian.com as well. So that's my personal site, just to read a little bit more about my, if my background is somehow interesting for somebody.
And that's Tina with two I's.
That's with two I's,
T-I-I-N-A-W-I-L-E-N, yes. TinaVillian.com. Yes. I know I'll never say that right, so I'm just going to give up. I'll just call you Tina. And what's up for your holiday? What are you doing next?
Oh, we are first year in 6 years. We are not in Malaga or Marbella in Spain. So it's a little, you know, boring in that sense. We love to go to Spain. We spend with our friends there, and, you know, we're looking to eventually move there. So, but that's a secret. So don't tell anyone. All right. But so we are in Sweden. We can't go to Finland. We can't go anywhere really. Sweden is beautiful right now, so this is the best time to be here. If you ever been to Scandinavia, you want to do that in July and August because it's so beautiful. So we live just by the lake. We have a stand-up paddleboard, so we take it out and kids are going wild everywhere. I'm a garden rookie, so I find a lot of joy in trying to not kill my plant. So I have like a lot of roses are coming up and all that, and it's a big surprise that something is it's working, so it's really cool
that you're actually growing something.
Yeah.
So we'll have to house swap in some future future scenario when we can travel again, because I'm in Sag Harbor, which is a lovely resort community, also on the water. We have the bay and the ocean. The kids would have a ball, and I'd love to go to Sweden so you can get out of Dodge and I'll go take over.
Yeah, yes, we will absolutely have to do that.
Tina, my friend, it has been an absolute joy and pleasure to chat with you about what it really takes to scale a business. Mm. And, you know, this is business. It's not, you didn't launch this business because you wanted to have a cool hobby. So if you're really serious about leaving legacy and scaling to a seven-figure, eight-figure business, then this is what it takes.
Yeah.
And Tina is the one to help you make it happen. Mm. So thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you real soon.
Let's do that.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.